Hello and welcome to episode 43 of the Back to Front Show. As always, joined live from Cheltenham by Mr. Kieran Masterton. How are you, Kieran?
I'm not bad. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Doing pretty good. Just fair to middling, as the youth say.
Yeah. Are you sure the youth say that?
No, they don't at all, do they?
No. It's a balmy day here. How about you?
Well, you know, I looked at the weather app, as I'm prone to occasionally on the old iPhone, and the whole
being
week
British.
looked like rain. But today's actually really nice.
Yeah.
Unusually so.
Gorgeous. But,
come school pickup time, I'm sure the heavens will open, and my Thomas the Tank Engine umbrella will have to once again make an appearance.
Be deployed.
Yes. We've talked about umbrellas before, haven't we? We shan't do it again.
No, let's not go into that again.
So what's been keeping you up at night?
Oh, God, that's a personal question.
Well, no, actually, funny enough, someone asked me that in a team meeting recently. I didn't know whether I should answer or not.
That's a bit awkward, isn't it?
It was. I was like, well, yeah, that's between me and my doctor, surely.
Well, lots of stuff going on. What can I talk about publicly?
Are you NDA'd up to the hilt or whatever?
I'm NDA'd to the eyeballs as always. That's pretty standard, isn't it? But all will be revealed in a couple of months.
A big reveal?
A big reveal. There'll be a big splash, and I'll be able to talk about everything.
Really?
Yeah.
A splash. I've got visions of you in kind of 1920s swimwear diving into a pool.
That's probably what's keeping you up at night.
I think it could be. Yeah. Moving swiftly on.
Anyway, what's keeping you up at night?
Well, who to dedicate this show to this week, actually.
Oh, really?
Yes. There was some fallout from that. Did you see the feedback we got?
No, frankly.
No. So whilst Gavin was over the moon, other regular listeners...
Oh, really? Has there been a backlash?
Yes. Our other three listeners were mildly upset.
Yeah, but surely they've had, you know, enough shout-outs over the years.
I would have thought so. Mr. Wiggins made a comment.
Was he not happy, was he?
I don't think so. HRH, Craig of Wales, a little bit sad that... And, you know, as for Oliver, well, he... Well, we shouted him out the last episode, so I don't know why.
Yeah, he said, thanks for the mention at the end of the show.
Yeah, but I took that to be a little bit sarcastic, you know, at the end. You know, why would you say that? Why would you say
that? Didn't
get
top billing like Gavin, did he?
No.
Let's be honest.
No. So, anyway, I think we should dedicate this show to Oliver Lindberg, and we're going to call it Lost with Lindberg.
Lost with Lindberg?
Because
that sounds like a podcast about a J.J. Abrams show.
Yes. It's a verified hashtag on the Twits.
Is it?
It is. Yes. This all goes back to, for those of you not familiar with Oliver Lindberg, he's the editor of Net Magazine, and I assumed, because he's German, that he'd know his way around every German city, just as I, being British, know my way around every British city. Right? I mean, it's
TD, surely. As my wife would say.
As she would say, yes. So we were in Dusseldorf a couple of years ago, and I entrusted my geographical, you know, direction to Oliver, and frankly, he failed.
I've just hit up the twitter.com/#/lostwithlindberg,
yeah.
And you are right. There is a thread involving Oliver looking at a map, looking confused.
Yeah, it's a regular occurrence, but only in Germany for some reason. I'm not really sure what's going on there. You'll notice that is a printed map as well.
It is, yes.
Yeah.
There's no tech involved whatsoever.
Very 2004. But, you know, we get there in the end. But in honor of getting lost, because this feels like a bit of a ramble so far with 4 minutes
of
the show.
So far, yeah. As usual, no one's mentioned the web.
Where we're going. So let's call it Lost with Lindberg. Hashtag Lost with Lindberg.
Sold.
Sold. So this is the Lost with Lindberg episode. Welcome. It's episode 43.
Mm-hmm.
And in the big news, in the last 7 days, some tech company released a new logo, and the bottom
and the
seemed to
internet,
drop out.
Yeah. The bottom lost their mind.
Yeah. What do you make of all that?
It's all very tedious, isn't it?
I don't know. I mean, there's been about half dozen Medium posts dissecting the curves of the icon against the curve of the icon that appears on your iPhone or Android and various other things. I mean, I don't know. Do you think it should be a public consultation? Do you think these tech companies should maybe give us a few years warning that they're going to change the icon? I mean,
no, I think it just shows everybody's, you know, utter lack of ability to accept change.
Personally,
I saw some absolutely horrific comments about 1990s clip art, and I see gradients are back and all sorts of, you know, nasty, snide comments. But, you know, realistically, I don't see what's wrong with it.
Like, I know.
I'm looking at it and I'm thinking, you know, it's not like the old icon, but it's not a million miles away. And it look, you know, caveat up front before everybody shouts on Twitter, I'm not a designer.
I've seen your design work. It's pretty good.
Well, I can copy other designers' work. But yeah, I can't see the problem, really. Can you?
No, I kind of liked it and just got on with my day. But then everywhere I turned, it was...
controversial.
It was very controversial. Very controversial. Videos were made, emails were sent, all sorts. Absolute shocker.
Yeah, but, a lot of people taking the mick out of the video they used to promote it as well. You know, the release video or whatever they put out.
Yeah.
I don't really understand it, to be honest. I don't know whether it's just sort of like, you know, people's nature to say, you know, like, you know, when you're doing some DIY outside the house and a neighbor walks
no.
up and goes, oh no, actually, you probably wouldn't know. That's like, you know, when you paid a man to, no. When a neighbor walks up and goes, oh, you don't want to do it like that.
Oh, yes.
I think it's the same mentality. I think it's sort of like, you know, however it had been done, there was always going to be people to say, you know, this isn't. Yeah, but then equally, you know, do you think someone would turn around and say, in 5 years' time, the Instagram logo is looking really old. Shouldn't they get around to changing it sometime soon? You know, does it work the other way? Do people criticize companies for not updating their image?
I don't know. They're just, you know, we don't like change, do we? We don't like change.
Well, that's what it appears to be. That's what it seems to be. It seems to just be literally, you know, a reaction to change that people don't like. I mean, maybe there are, you know, I'm sure, you know, designers listening to the show, please tell us, are there specific, you know, aesthetic qualities of the new logo that, you know, are problematic?
But, I mean, do you think it stops people using the app, though? That's fundamentally the question. Because the app had a whole redesign as well.
Yeah, but I mean, it didn't seem to get as much hate. I think... No. To be honest with you, I felt that the sort of high contrast change in the app was more of a was more jarring than the change of logo, personally.
Yeah, yeah. It took a little bit of getting used to, but I don't know. Everyone seems to be changing their apps and logos. I just don't know. It's obviously an age thing, Kay. I just can't get too upset about it.
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the thing. We are old school, aren't we?
And it's old school.
Maybe we've seen more. This is just turning into the back to front OAP show where we moan about, you know, the 1990s and how, you know, we've seen it all before. But it does feel like that. It feels like, you know, when other companies have changed their logo in the past and we've had a massive backlash about it. And there's always, we've talked about in the past that, you know, designers feel the need to do their own design of an application and put it out there into the world, which I guess gets them publicity. But
it's like when Spotify changed their green. I think that got us rather too many column inches as well, which is quite interesting. But it's not stopped me using the app. I'm sure most people who use the app probably still use it despite the logo change.
Indeed.
What's more interesting, the change of the chronological order of photos, I think that's quite interesting. I think that's also with Twitter as well, the way that they're sort of changing the timelines. That's probably more an interesting talking point than, you know, a new logo.
Yeah, I mean, I think the usability implications of that are pretty bleak, really. I think that we're used to consuming media in that chronological fashion. I don't think it's necessary, you know. I don't use Facebook, so I can't speak to, you know, having used a platform that's, you know, been doing this for a while. But I think that it's surely it's going to cause usability problems, people misunderstanding and stuff in terms of communication on these platforms. I don't know.
Yeah, I would think so. I think so. It's just, yeah, you know, to the older brain, a little bit confusing at times. You sort of see 5 or 6 new tweets, and then it's while you're away, there's something that you read yesterday. It's, I guess that's the thing where you switch from, say, the web interface to the app. It obviously doesn't necessarily
know what you've
marry
read
the two up. So, yeah, which makes sense. But yeah, as I say, I can't get too upset about these logo redesigns. But if you do want to wade into the debate, there is plenty of column inches, shall we say, on the internet that you can, you know, get busy with. But in other news,
absolutely.
Did you see that my adopted hometown is now hipster central, more hipster than Dalston? Yeah,
really.
Yeah, and I'm going to put the link in the show notes just to prove that we do live in a very, very hip city.
And just they put a picture of society in there with a bike on the wall.
They have, and there's mention of beards and you know, special. Sorry, technical difficulty.
What's happened?
My earphones aren't working. It's very strange. Sorry about that, listeners. This is due to the Yeti going, well, the way of the dodo, and the introduction of the new Samsung. We're both on a Samsung.
Did your Yeti fall apart as well, or is it just?
Well, not really. I mean, it's very big, isn't it? And I had the whole arm, and I got a new desk and bamboo, incidentally, which you called hipster. And it's all gone a bit wrong. But I've got the my headphones seem to, just depending on where I position them in the socket, don't work. So it's sort of a bit tricky. But anyways, yes. Yeah, so Bath, more hipster than Dalston. What do you make of that?
Well, accurate, probably.
I think so. This is
looking at these pictures, it's pretty accurate.
I know. There's
we should also mention this is an article in the Metro.
Metro.co.uk, one of the finest
news
outlets. A paper
known for the accuracy of its journalism.
I believe so. Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, I think, you know, as we are the self-proclaimed kings of Silicon Gorge, we now live in hipster central. It's all downhill from here, Kieran.
It is, yeah. I mean, but I think Bath's peaked.
I think, yes, we've reached peak Bath.
Well, with the arrival of Kinnish as well.
Well, we should shout out and a big welcome to the master of the .io domain, Mr. Neil Kinnish, has moved to this fair city as well. I'd like to point out that... this was after this hipster article was published, so I think he's jumping on the bandwagon a little bit.
I think
bit.
He is, yeah, absolutely.
Him and his VW sort of wide wheels, kind of spinners, going around town with his, you know, six music blaring out. It's all happening.
It but, is.
Yeah, he's more on the. You can see fields from where he's at, so I think he's, you know, he's not. He's not right down in the centre.
He's not in the urban grit like you. No. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. No, there's no litter on his streets.
No, absolutely not.
It's all very posh up there.
Suburbia.
But you know, if we've got any listeners in Bath besides me, do you agree? Do you think we are more hip than Dalston?
Check out the article. It's pretty damning.
It is pretty damning. But enough of the waffle. It's a link show. We've got two interesting links. Well, three, actually.
Yeah. Don't undersell it.
Sorry, I can't count. But I'm going to start with a link to a book which I recently received in the post, or the mail, if you're from across the Atlantic. This is Aaron Draplin's new book. Now, if you're into design, you've surely heard of Aaron Draplin, the sole proprietor of Draplin Design Co., based out in Portland. Have you ever seen him speak, actually?
I haven't, actually. Hang on. I should have seen him speak because I've been in the same bar as him.
What, just randomly?
In fact, I think I've spoken to him, but I can't have actually. I must have seen him speak if I've seen him in a bar, because that means I was at a conference with him.
Considering he doesn't drink, yes, I would imagine that he would only been there to to speak.
He was definitely in a bar. That was in. Oh, I was with you.
I was with you and I was with Mark Roberts. Where was that?
Would it have been one of the builds? Did we see him?
It might have been build. Anyway, this is extremely boring. Where did Kieran see Aaron Draft in the bar?
But anyway, released earlier this week, May 17th, and actually landed from the Amazon with the Prime.
Did it?
Pretty much on the day.
Nice.
Yeah, this is pretty much everything he's ever done to this point. It's a really, really nice book.
So it's not a greatest hits. It's like it's the works of, the complete works of.
But it is. But if you've ever seen him speak, and he talks about, if you've ever seen his tall tales from a big man or big tales from a tall man, whichever way around it is, mm-hmm. That he's taken around the world over the last sort of 4 or 5 years. It's kind of the history of his career. And if you've heard him speak, then you read the book. A bit like we've discussed this with Anthony Bourdain. When you read his books, you can kind of hear him in your head. Yeah. It's very much like that. And I was dipping in and out of it last night, and it is really, really good stuff. Beyond that, just I really like his aesthetic. I think it's that kind of utilitarian design and sort of block colors and thick lines and all that kind of stuff. And it's lots
very,
of great
very
logos.
Classic, isn't it?
Yeah. And of course, he's the guy behind Field Notes. So the whole history of the Field Notes and where they came from and how they came to be is in there as well.
Oh, really? Okay, cool.
Yeah. So, but he's also always good for merch. He talks a lot in the book about how when he's going on tour, it's because he wanted to be in a rock band, and you know how the people at concerts always had a merch table selling t-shirts and posters and all that kind of stuff, and he's kind of mimicked that along the way. And throughout the book he puts in these little bits of advice, and he's sort of saying, you know, when you're at the merch table and you see the young kid who's looking through his wallet and he's not got enough money for the thing, he said, just give it to him. And he said, you know, when that happened to me at a concert back in 89, you know, I became their biggest fan. Mm-hmm. And it's just there's a lot of things in there. So there's tidbits like that, but then there's also his checklist for when you're handing over a Photoshop file. There's stories about traveling on the road and kind of the craft of design and that kind of stuff, and his take on social media. So there's a whole bunch of stuff in there.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can we'll put the link in the show notes, but it's ddcbook.com, and then mm-hmm. there are links to for you to be able to buy that. He's got some nice upsells as well. You can get a bright orange. He seems to like orange.
It does. But a bright orange sleeve.
Yeah, you can put your book into a bright orange sleeve, which is pretty nice. But it's $54, which was almost twice the price of the book. Wow. So I'm not sure I'm going to be ordering that. But
I see that he numbers his products as well.
He numbers his products and his tweets. And
does
he? Yeah, he talks about that in the book. Why? He has some interesting takes on social media, but he's like, you know, make it count, which is why he's numbered every one. I think his original numbering took up about 12 characters. So one of his friends said, you might want to shorten that. You've only got 140. But
like our show numbers.
Well, indeed. Yeah. Yeah. Well, he's slightly more prolific than we are.
Yeah, just slightly.
One of his talks, I think it's from the Portland Creative Mornings, you can find on Vimeo or the Creative Morning site. It's well worth a watch. It's a good dose of Led Zeppelin in there for one of the bits, which is very good as well.
Nice.
But I've been a big admirer of his work over the years, and seen him speak a couple of times, and been able to chat to him on his merch stand. Interesting guy. Very interesting guy. But yeah, check that out, ddcbook.com.
So what type of bunts are we talking for it?
Bunts. I think I paid about 17 sterlings for it shipped.
It's not bad, is it?
But I think the RRP is 25 sterlings.
Yeah, it's currently 25 quid on amazon.co.uk for all our British listeners.
And probably only $25 in that case.
Or amazon.com, yeah.
We always seem to pay a little bit more. But anyways. But yeah, check that out. Aaron Drappin's new book, ddcbook.com. Mm-hmm. So I read another post this week.
It's actually $24. Sorry.
Oh, that was a joke. Is it really?
But it's $24. It's cheaper in dollars. And the pound is worth more, which is kind of sad, isn't it? Anyway.
Indicative of... yes, anyways. So, yeah, you know when you get one of those emails... I'll go back a step. When you get one of the... you find an app that you've kind of felt like you've been looking for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
there's so many email apps around these days. There's so many sort of iOS email apps. But the one thing that I've never felt quite got it right was like a calendar app. And then Sunrise came out a couple of years ago. And I felt this was like on iOS. It worked really nicely. It worked really well on the desktop.
Yeah.
Anyway, it got acquired by Microsoft.
As they do.
As they do. And this week saw the goodbye post. You know, we are delighted to announce we've been acquired, but we're shutting down. And the team are rolling the functionality into Outlook, but only seemingly on iOS, which is interesting. So I don't think they're replacing it on the desktop. But I mean, this we've probably talked about sunsetting apps, and that's absolutely fine. You know,
companies, ironically, Sunrise is sunsetting. Yeah,
yeah, that's fine. But you know, it's annoying, and there are other ones out there like Fantastical and so on and so forth. But I just don't know why is it that email and in particular calendar apps just no one seems to get it right. I just and it just seems to be a common thread out there. I don't think my needs are exceptional when it comes to calendaring, but
but I'd say that the built-in iCal app or whatever it's called now on the iPhone is approaching unusable.
Why do you find that?
I don't know. I just find it incredibly hard to. It seems to add. Meetings and things on the wrong days. Even though I think I selected it, and it seems I find it hard to navigate. And the full year view is too small, and then the week view is too jumbled. It's all. I think it's an interface problem more than anything.
There were some really nice touches. I mean, there are because it's still live for a couple more weeks, I believe.
Mm.
Just things like, if you're going to Skype with someone, it puts a nice little icon in there. If you've got a flight, it'll put an aeroplane. Just little visual clues that kind of make it...
what things are, yeah.
Yeah, and again, just things like if you've... obviously, I'm sure you're the same, have all the Google calendars and you can import those. Mm-hmm. But with the iOS app, when you've looked at other people's calendars, you have to go to the Google view online to select those, and then it kind of appears in your calendar, where with Sunrise you've got the whole list, so you can just turn people on or off, see what their availability is and so forth within the app, which is really nice. It's had some nice things where you can have public holidays, they've got these kind of calendars that you can just turn on and off as well. But it just feels to me that there's I don't know, maybe there's everyone's trying to reinvent the email app these days. I mean, I must have tried about five or six over the last couple of months, and I think we've talked about those before. There's like Polymail, there's Airmail, there's there's Google Inbox, there's all these.
And I've moved
things
back to Mail again because I can't get something that's reliable.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about. Is it called Nihilus? Have you seen that one? Which
yes,
is an open source one.
Yeah, I've used it.
What did you make of that one?
I think when I used it, I didn't have an integrated. It didn't have an integrated inbox. Because I've got so many email addresses, I like to use a unified email, inbox. And it doesn't do that. You have to actually literally go through each of your individual inboxes and check what's there, which I found kind of useful for a few days, because you can ignore inboxes. You can sort of, decide you leave your personal one until the evening or whatever. But then I just found that I was, missing stuff because I wasn't, focusing on the right inbox and that kind of thing. So they may have brought out unified inbox or whatever, but at the time they didn't have it, and I just had to dump it because of it.
Yeah, I believe they have. It was I tried it, but I don't know if it was just my install, but it kind of got a little bit creaky. The one thing that really threw me, and actually if you start reading some of the forums around the product or their support site, is that it doesn't have a kind of fetch email button, which psychologically is quite interesting.
Yes.
Because I think what it does, it's one of these, I think Mailbox, maybe the one that Dropbox bought, did the same, where it actually kind of collected all your mail and then stored it, and you collect it off their servers. So I think it's kind of a big round trip. It's not just a view on your IMAP. Effectively, it actually does something with which allows you to do things like the snoozing and resending and so on and so forth. But
so they become an intermediary between the two.
Yeah, and I really quite like the interface. I thought it was quite simple and clean. But I had a few problems with that. It just didn't update. It was just very, very slow. You'd have to restart the app. But interestingly, they have gone or are going to a pay model where you pay for a year's subscription. I think it's like $90 or something silly. Silly cheap, really. But people were complaining about that. And I thought one of the responses was quite nice, where the guy said, well, it's just not for you. That's fine.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, when something's paid for, someone says I don't like it, just saying simply saying, well, you know, that's it's not for you then. It's fair enough, I think.
But what's interesting about Nihilus N1 is that it's it's open source, and there's all kind of APIs around it, and you know, people can build on top of it and create plugins and so on and so forth. So there's kind of an ecosystem building up around it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I think I saw reference to it for the first time in Kai Brack's email, the Modern Desk.
So I think.
I'm sure a lot of people tried it on the back of that. But yeah, the calendars and email, it seems to be the one thing. It's like catnip to me. It used to be to-do list apps, and now it's more like email and calendar apps. I try most of them when they come out. Or well, you have to get on the waiting list now, don't you?
Yeah, always. Yeah.
Oh, and there's a queue, and you feel like oh.
And
man,
you can tweet it to bump yourself up the queue.
Yeah, I never do that. Do you do that?
I've done it on a few things, but
oh, really?
Yeah.
You surprised me.
What was the most recent thing I did it on? It was that the bank account
Mondo.
Yeah, which I was invited to, but haven't after you know, tweeting it, then got invited and haven't actually gone through with it. Yeah, Mondo.
Yeah, that's another interesting topic. The old fintech, as it's called.
Mm-hmm.
But Sunrise is no more, and I think it's closing on the 31st. It says here we'll officially shut down the app, and it will stop working altogether.
Yeah, that's a bit of a blow, isn't it? With things like Sparrow, when it went, which is obviously, I think, a lot of people's ultimate email app that was working beautifully until it was acquired. They at least it continued working for probably 6, 8, 12 months after the acquisition, and then just started to get so buggy and broken that people stopped using it.
The thing with that one was that I actually paid for it. You know,
I did too. Yeah.
I think it was well worth. Was it $25, $30? It was. Mm-hmm. It was, you know, not huge, but not insignificant.
No.
And yeah, I love Sparrow. I thought it was great, but I don't know what happened to the team there. Did they? Where they went, it was a Google acquisition, right?
It was, yeah. I'm taking it they just, you know, there was. I thought there was talk of it becoming, you know, Google's desktop mail app, but I haven't seen anything about that. Maybe I'm just not, you know, not aware of it.
You'd think they would do a desktop mail app at some point, but I'm guessing, obviously, you know, Gmail, the interface is pretty rock solid. You know, it's 10, 12 years old now or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And, but yeah, they seem to be inventing social networks all the time. Did you see the new one they released last week called Spaces?
No, I didn't see that. No.
Yeah, there's another one out there which we can perhaps have a chat about at another time. But
indeed,
if anyone out there has the ultimate calendar app that I've missed, I would love to know. And or email app. Yeah, I'll undoubtedly try it and then delete it. And,
yeah.
Give Clean My Mac a run for its money, trying to take out all the dependencies that they bring in. But, always good fun. But we've only got one more thing, and this is yours. This is yours.
Well, kind of.
Yeah,
it's kind of a running thing that we've been talking about. A theme that's run through all of our shows, which is dog tech.
Dog-related
or
tech.
Or dogs and tech.
It's back with a vengeance this week.
It is. This is Wistia.
Wistia.
Do you know Wistia?
I thought that was the name of your dog.
No, that's Whistler.
Oh, it's your accent, sorry.
Whistler, as your daughter says.
She does.
She does.
She doesn't like dogs.
No, she doesn't.
Very scared of dogs.
Wistia, the video platform.
Oh, yep.
Have announced Startpup, a competition for startups with dogs. I did have to check. This wasn't released on April 1st.
It's not. May the 11th.
It was May the 11th, yes. So this is, you know, this is legit, I presume. And basically, the article says that studies suggest that office dogs can reduce stress, improve retention rates, and contribute to a more casual environment. And then they say that they've got their own office dog, and that they want to celebrate other startups with dogs, basically. And it's a competition, And actually, I don't know what you win.
Oh no, it's a good
it's money to the local humane society, isn't it?
No. Well, no, that's the
that's one of the requirements for entering, isn't it?
Well, yes, $500 go to the local humane society branch. But if you do win, or your mm-hmm. pooch wins, you get the free 500 video plan, usually $100 per month for
life. That's incredible.
A GoPro camera, but not. I mean, this I don't know if you can beat this, not to be beat. The GoPro dog mount for your dog to record his or her travels around the office. A Wistia dog bandana and a frisbee.
Amazing, amazing.
Now this, I think we've been getting it all wrong. These hackathons where you can win like fun. This is worth entering.
It is. If your dog is a runner-up, get it? You'll receive $300 donation to your local humane society, Wistia bandana and a frisbee. So, what's there to lose? And all you have to do is record a video. A short video of your dog in your office and send it to them.
Right. So let's have a look. Yes. They're also looking for particular centres where you can. So Berlin, Boston, London, LA, New York, Paris, Seoul, Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Is that technically a place? I don't know. I thought it was. Anyway, Stockholm and Tel Aviv. But if your startup is not in those locations, you are still eligible to enter. So, I mean, this is a worldwide competition.
It is. This is big news in the startup dog community.
There's a good lineup of judges.
Mm-hmm.
We've got people from investors, Boston Globe columnists.
Yep.
People from Wistia.
From the Humane Society.
This is very good.
It is very cool.
So the question really is,
need to start a startup here, and then we can use Whistler as our office dog. So all we need is a startup idea.
Yes, I think this is worth.
This is worth raising VC for. I think. I mean,
I know, but we've been happily refusing it since 2008. I don't know. We should be changing the habit of a lifetime here.
Well, I'll call Union Square Ventures back and see what they think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure we crank open that Google Doc where we had all those startup ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, there must have been, what was it, an Uber for Grays for coffee that did and an app or something.
Yeah. Geolocation.
Social something.
Yeah.
It was going to be big anyway. We just couldn't find the time.
Yeah, we couldn't. And it was also definitely going to involve reviews.
Lots of reviews, lots of UGC.
Yeah, UGC, big tech infrastructure, big product team.
Yeah, too big for oars. Couldn't go on oars. We'd have to have our own infrastructure.
Yeah, we would.
Yeah, but anyways, yes. This is good stuff.
Yeah, this is. So, anybody with a dog and a startup, get yourself along to wistia.com/blog/startpup contest.
Startpup-contest. Let's not forget
Apologies, I forgot the hyphen. And we'll link to that in the show notes.
Talking of hyphens, did you know that in most Mac OS X apps, if you do a double hyphen space, it will turn into an M dash?
I did know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I had to Google it. I mean, I didn't
Google
that.
It's actually particularly annoying to me when it doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Because then you just look like a Muppet. You've got a double dash. It doesn't happen in Slack, for example.
Does it not?
Yeah, absolute joke.
We've all got too used to Medium where it just kind of does it for you.
Yeah, where it's all beautiful. Yeah. Though I did have a terrible cut and paste experience from Medium.
Well, it sounds painful. Yeah, I mean, what happened?
Well, I was just cutting and pasting into, your average WYSIWYG. Because I like to write in Medium because obviously, nicest writing interface around, in my humble opinion. Mm. And I'm a big fan of the TK feature.
Oh, you do love a bit of TK. We found out about that at the old Canvas Conf, didn't we?
Didn't we?
A little known feature of the. There's an article on Medium, very meta, about TK.
It is.
We'll have to dig it out and put in the show notes.
If you're a Medium user and you don't know what TK is, look it up. It absolutely will change your life. And so I was cutting and pasting from Medium into your average WYSIWYG, and I was having all sorts of problems with fonts and how it was interpreting it. H2s weren't H2s and all sorts of stuff going on, but it's not the best platform to be writing in and then exporting your content elsewhere, which I guess is not how they designed it, is it?
It's not.
They didn't think it was going to be your average word processor.
No, not like, you know, what was that one? Star, do you remember that? What was it? No. What was the first Mac one I ever used? It wasn't
WordStar or something.
WordStar, that was a good one. Big toolbars, you know.
Unless
you could add toolbars so that half your screen was full of toolbars and you had every power feature visible.
Then what's the point?
I was not interested.
No.
The minimum amount of writing space showed to me that this was a good word processor. That if I needed to do a table within a table, within a Gantt chart, within a table, within a bulleted list, I could do it with either, you know, three presses of the menu or maybe a very convoluted sort of nine-fingered keystroke.
Talking of lots of toolbars, do you remember Hot Dog?
Ooh, this was this...
The HTML editor.
I do remember this because I only remember it because someone I used to work with asked to get Front Page and her boss said, no, you can't have that. It's too expensive, and got a hot dog instead.
Hot Dog Professional, I think it was called.
Yeah.
You really, really arrived if you went for the professional version. But yeah, it was toolbar heavy.
I think was it professional because it had built-in FTP?
Yes, it was. I think that might be correct. And you had a sort of sidebar that showed you the remote files.
But yeah, you could do like a special keystroke and it would not just save locally, it would save and then push.
It would, it would, yeah.
You see?
I think we should just can the whole idea of the Web Industry Podcast and just do a retrospective on old tech that Kieran and Kieran remember.
Well, I can go back as far as when remote controls came on wires.
Really?
You can't... My auntie had a Betamax video because Betamax was going to be the killer.
Obviously.
And everyone who ever had a Betamax to this day maintains the quality was better. But you would, right?
Yeah.
However, yeah, the remote control, it had like one of those kettle springy leads. So you could sit there and you sort of have to pull it and... I mean, it kind of defeated the object, really.
Yeah, rubbish.
But they were always ahead of the curve. He also bought a Sinclair C5, my uncle, so...
Really?
Yeah.
Jealous of a Sinclair C5.
I might put that as a hero image, because there's some brilliant, brilliant footage of the Sinclair C5 going around the M25 with huge articulated trucks going by, and like this poor person with his hands under his legs steering this plastic three-wheeler. Ridiculous.
Yeah, but amazing at the same time.
I think my uncle bought it to, he put a big flag on the back and sort of drove it around Windsor where they lived, advertising as estate agent or something like that. But
right,
each to their own. But it's been a bit of a mixed bag, a bit of a potpourri session today, hasn't it?
Yeah,
I
wouldn't say dodgy.
No,
but I'd say cobbled together.
I would say it's very fitting that we've called it The Lost with Lindbergh, because it does feel like, you know,
it's meandered.
Yeah, it's meandered. We've gone to the Bahnhof, we've come back, we're at the bar, we've gone to the Rhine, we've come back, and what should have taken
ended up at a
2 minutes
dog.
Has taken 40. Yeah, but yeah. Big news, merch coming soon.
I can't believe you're investing in merch.
I am.
It's exciting times though, you know.
Yeah, it's only been 3.5 years.
I can't believe the dog harness for the GoPro is £49. I'm distraught about that.
It'll only be $49. It'd be cheaper to import it.
Well, obviously, it's an Insta-buy. You know, I've got to buy it. So that means that I'm going to now spend £50.
Are you really buying it?
Have you got
a GoPro?
No, I have to buy a GoPro to go with it. Now that I know there's a dog harness.
But surely it would be better to do a startup and cheaper. To, like, quit our day jobs and go and do all that. And then we could win. And we donate to charity.
It would definitely be quicker to raise VC than it would to order this and wait for it to come.
I would think so.
Let's do that.
All right. We shall go away. We shall do a startup and we'll let you know how it's going. Because startup in a week, I mean, that surely.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll have sold it.
Yeah, we'll have been acquired.
Yeah.
And then we can, before we've actually launched anything, we can put out the, delighted to announce
our app.
That we've been acquired and we're shutting down the app.
Yeah.
Actually, let's circumnavigate all that and not do anything.
Yeah, sounds good.
I like that. On that bombshell,
all right.
We should bid you farewell. As always, thank you for listening. If you've got this far, it's always a pleasure. You can find us on Twitter at Back to Front Show. Leave us a review. I think we've got about 12 now after 3.5 years. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's almost, number of reviews almost matches the number of episodes. But yes, I don't know. Anyways, we try. But yes. We shall catch up soon. And if you have any feedback, whether it be nice or not.
Well, if it's not, don't tell us. We've said this before.
Yeah, don't tell us. We don't want to know.
If it's nice, at Back to Front Show.
Yeah. But enjoy the rest of your day and good luck with the startup.
Cheers.